This is the Bible News Prophecy Program, bringing you news and analysis of world events in the light of Bible prophecy. The following program is brought to you by the Continuing Church of God.
Prophecy Program with Dr. Bob Teal, bringing you news and analysis of world events in light of Bible prophecy. Dr. Teal, would anyone mock any of the things Jesus prophesied?
Going on all the time, it seems like. Jesus, for example, in Matthew 24, verses 7 and 8, prophesied that there would be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places, and these were the beginning of sorrows. And in Mark's account, Mark 13, 8, we see that Jesus prophesied troubles. It says, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. And we've actually seen a lot of earthquake-related troubles this past week. I want to go over a few news reports. Here's one. In 38 seconds on the evening of June 24th, Venezuela experienced what seismologists are calling a rare earthquake doublet. Two massive earthquakes striking nearly simultaneously, the strongest to hit the country in over a century. Well, actually, it's been over 125 years. And they were 7.5 and 7.1 or 2. And then within 24 hours, Japan's northeastern coast was rocking from a 7.2 magnitude tremor. And the death toll's been going up. U.S. Geological Survey predicted that there's a 40% chance of between 10,000 and 100,000 casualties for this. Right now, there's only about 1,000, they've said. But they also reported this morning there's 51,000 people missing in Venezuela. Meanwhile, this is another news report, a magnitude 5.6 earthquake struck Northern California on Wednesday morning, the region's strongest since 1940. It was in a town called Willits, which is about 140 miles northeast of San Francisco. And power outages affected more than 6,000 residents across six towns there. But as I mentioned, this one in Venezuela is the strongest one they've had in over 125 years. They say that there have been thousands injured. And as I said before, more than 51,000 people are still reported missing.
Those earthquakes in Venezuela are tragic. But what does that have to do with people mocking Christians?
Well, shortly after I reported about this quake a couple of days ago and said that those affected were in my prayers, an apostate anti-Christian website posted some comments about me and what I wrote about. So here's some of what they said. Fresh off the Venezuela twin quakes, Crackpot Bob, that's supposed to be me, declared it was all straight out of Mark 13:8. And there will be earthquakes in various places. These are the beginning of sorrows. This mocker continues with, never mind that the USGS, that's the United States Geological Survey, has been politely explaining for years that the only thing increasing is the number of seismometers and the speed at which we hear about disasters. Actual big earthquakes, still averaging about 16 major ones a year, just like for over a century. Some years more, some less. Normal fluctuation. The heat wave in Europe, heat records get broken every few years now.
No, that's interesting. It's not particularly brilliant, but it's interesting. If heat records get broken every few years now, as that website states, why is that not prophetic? But what about the number of seismometers leading to the increased recordings of earthquakes?
Well, the increased number of seismometers has nothing to do with the devastation from the Venezuelan quakes. They'd have known that there wasn't such a thing as a seismometer or these other recent large quakes. And by the way, the recent record heat in Europe this week is also not usual. Of course, in my post, yes, I quoted Jesus and his prophecy. The death toll in Europe was high, and the death toll in Venezuela continues to rise. So yes, consistent with the prophecy from Jesus, those Venezuelan quakes as well as the heat in Europe brought troubles. And furthermore, you know, this past week we've seen earthquakes in various places, which is what Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24 and Mark 13. Now, sadly, the webmaster at that anti-Christian website often wishes to be blinded by the truth. He made another post about me, which I exposed for false statements. He said I didn't have certain degrees and certificates and awards and all that stuff. And I put them all up online. You can see, just all nonsense. Sadly, that webmaster and other anti-Christian deceivers continue to pour forth lies consistent with prophecies to the last days that the Apostle Paul, who warned that, quote, and this is in 2 Timothy 3:13, evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived.
So that website, through their deception, is also fulfilling prophecies?
Sadly, yes. Consider also that the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 30, verse 10, warned of those who, quote, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, don't prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Yet many at that anti-true Christian website are like that. I said true Christian because the webmaster actually claims to be a Christian, yet he posts false statements, derides the truth about church history, and a lot of prophetic matters. Now, the anti-Christian comments of that site and his discounting of things like these troubles have been happening also brought to mind something that the Apostle Peter wrote. I'm going to read a fair stretch here from 2 Peter 3, starting in verse 1. And again, this will also be from the New King James Version of the Bible. Peter wrote, beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both which to stir up your pure mind by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. Okay, we're scoffing these prophecies. Walking according to their own lusts, because they hate the true church. They want to just say stuff about it. Atheists fall in that category as well. And they are saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of creation. In other words, everything, they're going to say everything is just normal. None of this stuff really counts. Verse 5. For this they willingly forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that was then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are preserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And these mockers are ungodly men. Some of them women too, but most ones I know are men. Verse 8, Peter reminds everybody, but beloved, don't forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is 1 day. But he said, remember that because you can read that in the Psalms. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, the promise, to some count slackness. It's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God has a plan, and the time frame is to maximize those, the amount of people who will be saved. See, people mock God because of this, but what's the plan? Anyway, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come to see from the night, which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought to be in holy conduct and godliness? In other words, you know what's going to happen, so do what God says. Looking for and hastening the coming day of God, because which the heavens will be dissolved. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look to the new heavens and new earth, which righteousness dwells. Verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to those things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and considering that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Anyway, just Apostle Peter prophesied, there are scoffers who declare what's going on is normal, not prophetic. back in 2009, I wrote a book about called 2012 and the Rise of Secret Sect. And in it, I had the following statements. Odd weather patterns and natural disasters, Matthew 24:7. The world is actually in a berserk transition, as the real age of peace is not yet here. It will be a period of chaos. It's the beginning of sorrows, Matthew 24:8. And since that published, we've had record-breaking heat and other odd weather problems. And as far as Europe goes with heat this week, it says record-breaking temperatures have sweltered much of Europe, Western Europe this week as the latest heat wave of the year nears its peak. France witnessed its hottest day since measurements began on Tuesday, June 23rd. The National Weather Service, Meteo France, recording a blistering 44.3 degrees Celsius in Poissons. Now, by the way, that's 111.74 degrees Fahrenheit, okay? It says, while other regions are under red alert baked by unprecedented highs. This is from Euronews. The heat wave in Western Europe has resulted in widespread chaos. And the heat's been deadly, by the way. Yesterday, Spain registered 327 heat-related deaths. Another article says, also from Euronews, that Europe's being hit by record high temperatures and heat wave expected to last for further 2 weeks across the continent. Spain's experienced record-breaking June temperatures with several national local records broken. And they've having problems actually since May. And these heat and weather issues should serve as a wake-up call. Because, well, the Bible says God controls the weather. And in Amos 3, starting verse 6, it says, if there's calamity in the city, will not the Lord have done it? Surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Yeah, the Bible basically says of weather-related blessings for obedience and weather-related curses for disobedience. Weather's not as random as people want to believe. And the Bible actually warns that God uses weather to send a message to people, to repent. In Amos chapter 4, for example, starting verse 7, the Word of God says, I withheld rain from you. And I made it rain in one city, and I withheld it for another one. One part was rained on, the other part it didn't. And people wandered to the cities to drink water, but they weren't satisfied. Yet you haven't returned to me, says the Lord. Verse 9, I blasted you with blight and mildew when your gardens increased, your vineyards and your fig trees, your olive trees. The locusts devoured them. Yet you haven't returned to me, says the Lord. Scoffers ignore what God prophesied about weather. They don't want to repent. They want to just blow it all off. And the Apostle Peter warned about that. Okay? Hopefully, you've not been infected by the disregard of people like the anti-Christian websites. To disregard the words of Jesus and the prophecies in the Bible. Sadly, most now will ignore weather changes and simply believe that weather changes all the time. They don't have anything to do with God or prophecy or disobeying it. However, the Bible shows that weird, severe, and odd weather patterns are part of the warning message from God. Hopefully, all are going to pay attention, or more will pay attention to those messages.
This Bible News Prophecy program was sponsored by the Continuing Church of God. For more information, including access to our free literature, visit BibleNewsProphecy.net or www.ccog.org. You can also reach us by email. Our address is Bible News Prophecy, at gmail.com.